We'll be in Acts chapter 12. You won't find that, but I want to share something with you before we do it. God's got it on my heart. Michael, come up here a minute, right there in front of the communion table, and help me. I'm not going to hurt you, Michael, I promise you. Get down on all fours there, brother, like me and you was going to wrestle when we was in high school, face him. There you go. Get down on all fours, Brother Michael. I just want to put this on you, brother. You got it, brother. I'll balance it right here. I'm going to tell you something right now. Salvation is not by feelings. It's by faith. But I want to illustrate something. The Word of God said that sin might become exceeding sinful. Now, if I was going to illustrate that, Brother Steve, we'd have to put the communion table on top of the chair, the pulpit on top of the communion table, and then just start piling the organ on top of that. Because when the Spirit of God visits you, beloved, listen, He throws a book at you. And here's what I'm going to tell you. If you've ever been to Calvary, if you've ever known what it is for the Spirit of God to convict you in this weight of sin just mashing you into hell, Brother Jesper, I'm glad you're not and you can relate to it now. You can't rest. But let me tell you something, Brother Michael. When this is gone, would you just holler to them, tell them it's gone? I'm going to sit on it a while, brother. How in the world can the Lord Jesus take away the sin off of you and you not know it? How in the world can He pick that mess up and forgive you? Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and you not know something happened. I'm not preaching a salvation by feelings. I'm preaching a salvation by faith. But I'm going to tell you something. You ever get saved by faith, you're going to feel a load lifted off of you. You're going to have some peace in your heart you ain't never had before. You're going to have some joy in your life you ain't never had before. You're going to have a desire to serve God that you ain't never had before. You're going to have a desire to leave that crowd that's going contrary to God that you never had before. Amen. All right, let's preach. Acts chapter 12. I just don't want you to get confused. We don't preach you get saved by feelings. You get saved by faith. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. When the Spirit of God comes, I'm telling you, He makes that sin load heavy. I'm glad. I'm glad Jesus was willing to go. And honey, He didn't just bear my sin in His body on the tree. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, beloved, there's a lot of people today religious. But the only way you'll ever have a relationship is through the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Amen. I have a message on my heart this morning, and I want to share it with you. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read one verse, and then we'll be preaching through the chapter. God willing, one verse. In verse number 25, let's stand together. Y'all been sitting a long time. Let's stand together in reverence to God's Word. How many of y'all are praying? Do y'all understand there's people here today that need Jesus that don't know the joy that you know right now? Do y'all understand that we got a great service planned for tonight, but there may be a greater service before tonight ever comes? Around the throne of God, brother, reunited with our loved ones, the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. A lot of people don't know it, Brother Cole. But you and I have preached to a lot of those men in prison. Honey, that razor wire ain't going to hold them. I don't care if they're in the deepest, darkest cell in that prison. When He comes, He's a coming out of there. Amen. Because Jesus lives in their heart. If He don't live in your heart, He can. He wants to. Before you leave here today, He wants to. The Bible said in verse number 25 of Acts chapter number 12, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem." I want you to notice these words. "When they had fulfilled their ministry." Boy, I tell you, that struck a note in my heart. When they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. You can be seated. Please pray for me and pray with me this morning. Our Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to stand in your presence. I want to thank you, Lord, for my people. God, I know they're praying for me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Brother John home from the hospital. I pray you'll bless him and Sister Joyce today. Give him a good day, Lord. Lord, I know that he may be on oxygen down here, but Lord, when he gets home, he won't be on any oxygen. Lord, we may be going through many trials and battles down here, but Lord, when we get home, the battle will be over. And God, I pray that until then, you'll just give us grace that we might fulfill the ministry, our Father, that you've called us to do. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We pray you'll speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you today about this subject, they fulfilled their ministry. When I say that, I believe automatically it's just nature, human nature, that when you say the word ministry, you're thinking about missionaries. You're thinking about preachers. You're thinking about evangelists. But I want to say to you in the onset of the message today that when you were saved by the grace of God, if you've ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know that you've been saved by the grace of God. God gave you a ministry. I believe mothers have an important ministry. I believe fathers have an important ministry. Brother Long, you talked about last night. I believe mammals and papals have an important ministry. And the Word of God said they fulfilled their ministry. I wonder, Brother Wayne, how many of God's people are going to get home and their ministry was not fulfilled. They thought about it like this. That's the preacher's job. That's the missionary's job to tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's somebody else. That's the deacon's job to minister to the widows. And that is part of their job. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. That shouldn't be the only phone call the widows get. Somebody help me this morning. That shouldn't be the only offer to help around the house that the widows get. Somebody help me. I'm just telling you, beloved, we have a ministry if we're saved by the grace of God. I could take you over to Corinthians and show you that, but I'm not going to go there this morning. What I want to look at this morning in this chapter, the Lord spoke to my heart about this thing. First of all, I'd like to, if I can find it, I would like to read something to you to kind of illustrate what I just said about ministry. An elderly widow, restricted in her activities, was eager to serve Christ. In other words, she's not over there asking, what can people do for me? She's asking, what can I do for my Lord? An elderly widow. And the illustration said this. She was eager to serve Christ. After praying about this, she realized that she could bring blessing to others by playing the piano. The next day, she placed the small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. The notice included the number to dial. When people called, she would ask, what hymn would you like to hear? Within a few months, her playing had brought cheer to several hundred people. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them. Happy be the day in your life, beloved. Listen, when you get past, what can some ministry do for me? And you begin to ask the question, what can I do to help in this ministry? What can I do to have a ministry for the Lord? Brother Sam, your wife was a woman that poured out her life to others. Amen, Brother Preston, your mommy. I mean, you can't think of, no, she wasn't a preacher, so to speak, but she was a sharer of the gospel. You can believe that. Amen. And she loved people, and she was concerned about people's needs. And Miss Teresa's not the only one. Your wife, Brother Long, many are in glory today, but they knew what it was, though they never stood in a pulpit, though they were never a missionary. They knew what it was to serve Christ. Amen. And they fulfilled their ministry while they were here on the earth. I've got several things to share with you. Let's get started. Go back to the first part of the chapter with me, please. If you're going to fulfill your ministry, there's some things you need to keep in mind. There's preachers here today. Listen, God is my witness. I want every preacher that's here today to hear my Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want every preacher's wife to hear my Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it goes further than that. I want everybody that attends our church, those that are members of our church, I want them to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You say, "Pastor, is there some things we can learn in this chapter?" Yes. And I pray God will put it in our heart. I pray the altar will fill up with people this morning that will pray for these, that they'll fulfill their ministry, but also will beg God to forgive you and pick up the ball and get at the ministry that God has given you in your life. It might be fixing food. It might be a cake. I've said this for years. Why does somebody have to die before you bake them their favorite pie and take it over there? Why can't we do it while they're living? Somebody help me. Why do we have to wait on somebody to die to bake a cake, amen, or go by the KFC and get a bucket of chicken, amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God wants us to get involved in His ministry. They fulfilled their ministry. Let me give you some things. Let's go. If we don't, we'll never get out of here. It'll be 6 o'clock and we'll still be here waiting on them to come in. Amen. Let's watch. Watch what the Word of God's going to teach us here today. Number one, look at verse number one. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He said, now Pastor, you're talking about fulfilling a ministry. Yes, let's read on. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. And he delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The first thing I want to give you, if you want to write this down and take notes, if you're going to fulfill your ministry, you need to recognize the severity of the opposition. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can make up your mind today you're going to serve God. But Brother Taylor, the enemy is not going to sit still, amen, while God's people raise up and go forth to serve God. There's a lot of people, Brother Coulter, they get started and they're excited and they run head on into the enemy and they say, "I didn't know this was coming." I'm just telling you, if you're going to do something for God, beloved, the enemy will be there. He'll see to it, amen, and he'll try his best to cause you to not fulfill the ministry that God has given you. There's several things here that I saw in this severity. The enemy, there was a problem with three things. There was a problem with their hands. They beheaded James. They took a sword and cut his head off. There was a problem with their heart. And then there was a problem with their head. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? This is what the Word of God said. Look at it right there. When he saw that it pleased the people. I'm going to tell you something right now. The enemy, beloved, their hands are never going to be for the Lord. They're always going to be against. They're never going to be for God's man. They're always going to be against. The enemy's head is always going to be trying to figure out another way to undermine. I believe that's going on in the prisons right now. I'm telling you, beloved, with a lot of the state officials, they didn't want us there to start with. We wasn't nothing but a hiccup in their day. But I'm telling you, beloved, God is able. We're going to see in this chapter to help us. Even though the opposition is severe, the severity of the opposition, you set your mind and your heart to serve God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus come that they might have life. But the thief cometh not for to kill and to steal and to destroy. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your ministry. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, beloved, I'm so glad greater is he that liveth in me than he that's in the world. I'm so glad this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm so glad Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, smile, grin, because I've overcome the world. Amen. I see the severity of the opposition. You say, Pastor, what's going on in these cities? What are we going to do about this problem with the guns? The problem ain't the guns. It's the hands. It's the heart. It's the head. Are you listening to me? enemy. I said Wednesday night, little 4-year-old boy getting his hair cut in his own home. And the little boy was black. He's in Chicago, got shot in the head and died last weekend. He was one of 8 that died. But nobody cares about that black life. All they care about is something, beloved, that fits their political agenda. I'm telling you, that little boy, thank God, I would think at 4 years old, brother, he's not accountable to God yet. He's dancing around the throne of God. God may have kept him out of a mess, amen, down here in this world. And I'm going to tell you, his life is just as important as George Floyd's. I said it and I'll say it again. If not more so. Amen. The severity of the opposition. The second thing I want you to see, if you'll look with me, there was a sacred opportunity. Listen, many times when the opposition comes, we cow down and we shrink back. And all we see is the opposition. We don't see the opportunity. And what I want you to see here in the chapter, look at it here, starting in verse number 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You see, beloved, when the opposition rears its ugly head, there is an opportunity for God's people. It's a sacred opportunity to approach the throne of God. Brother Long, you talk about it. When the lessons are stacked up to the ceiling and there's no money, amen, to send them out. It's an opportunity to trust God, to pray, and watch God work on our behalf. Beloved, because prayer was made, I'll give you three things real quickly, and we'll move on. I want you to think about this. They took advantage of that sacred opportunity, but prayer was made of the church. First thing, Brother Calder, I want you to think about this, buddy. He's got one of them soldiers. He's chained to him. Word of God said he's between two of them. He might have been chained to both of them. I don't know. But you know what he was doing? He's sleeping. Oh, you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're trying to get at. Here's what I'm trying to get at. That opposition can be as big as it wants to. It can work as long as it wants to. But there'll be peace in that man's heart because somebody's praying for him. Amen. I don't believe that only the church was praying. Listen, for Peter, I believe with all of my heart, Peter was walking with God and he's a praying for them. Amen. I tell you, beloved, I've said this for years. Every missionary, Brother Colt, I tried to encourage them. Don't go into the church saying, God, what can they do for me? But go into that church saying, what can I do for that pastor? What can I do for those people? God will bless you. Prayer was made. I'm confident that this church will be praying for this young man. But I'll tell you what, I'm just as confident. This young man is going to be praying for this preacher. Going to be praying for this people. Amen. I'm telling you, it works both ways. Yes, the opposition will come, but there's a sacred opportunity to pray. Watch this now. Not only was the Lord's servant sleeping in the prison, but in verse number 7, something else happened. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. Glory to God. You know, because somebody was praying, the Lord's servant sleeping between two soldiers, but there's a light shining. You know what we need in America? We need some light. It's dark. Yes, it's dark. It's dark on every corner, amen. They're calling evil good and good evil. But I'm telling you what, there's not any darkness that can comprehend the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because somebody was praying, this man of God, the servant of God, the servant of the Lord was sleeping. But beloved, the light of God was shining in that prison. One more thing and we'll hurry on. The Lord showed him out of prison. Look at verse 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself. Well, let me finish verse number 7. A light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side. I like that, don't you? Wake up, boy. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you don't know what it is to serve God, do you, Mike, until God slaps you in the side in the middle of the night and says, wake up, boy. I got something I want you to pray about, or I want to give you something. I've learned
Beloved, when God wakes me up anymore to get that pencil, because if I go back to sleep and wake up again, it's gone. G-O-N-E, gone. Amen. But I'm telling you, God woke Peter up and God smote him on the side. He said, get up, boy. There's plenty of light. Let's get out of here. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said. The Bible said, and his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, hallelujah's right, brother. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, that it was done by the angel. But he thought he saw a vision. It was so good. Peter just couldn't hardly believe it was true. I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not exaggerating. I've been serving God long enough to know at times it's so good. You just can't hardly believe it's true. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Brother Long, I talked about leaving that first church. 2 weeks later, I was in a church with 45 people. I had $175 to my name when I left Wise. My brother rented the U-Haul. My brother rented the storage building. And my dad let us move into his basement. And 2 weeks later, I was preaching in a church with 45. I looked over my wife as we was going down the road, and she started crying. I thought to myself, she had the offering, and she was looking at it in the envelope. And I said, honey, I'm in my mind. I'm saying, listen, it don't matter what it is. Don't cry over it. Amen. It'll be all right. I said, what's wrong? She said, I quit counting at $500. That little group of people, God, just using his youngins. Ain't got to where we was raising support and we give a love offering to the youngins. You say, Preston, why'd you do that? Because we wanted to know who was feeding us, who was paying the house payment, who was paying the electric bill. We wanted them to know that there was a God in heaven that hadn't forgot us. Amen. Beloved, listen. The Word of God teaches us here there's a sacred opportunity. I'm going to give you this. There's a supernatural opening. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. Stay with me just a moment. Let's read here in verse number 11 and 12. Let me read verse 10 too. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate, which leadeth unto the city. Now listen, are y'all reading this King James Bible? It said right here, which opened to them of his own accord. Y'all forgive me for just a minute, but I was thinking about that last night. And did you know that in our day and in our time, there are gates, you can put a little thing on your car, and it recognizes that little thing. And when you pull up to that gate, it reads that little thing. And there's a solar panel there that gives that gate power, and that gate will open on its own accord. And I got to thinking, I wonder if there was a solar panel back there when that gate. I just want to say this. I hope you get this. And no, it wasn't no solar panel, but it was hooked up to the sun. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that gate, the Son of God, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it opened of its own accord. That's what the Word of God said. Opened of its own accord. And you say, preacher, a lot of them gates work off of motion detectors. I don't know how much fun I have in department stores and places like that, grocery stores. I'll step outside and somebody's coming. I'll say, I'll open the door for you. Some of you don't move enough to open the door. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, they got a motion detector on them. The Son of God detected motion. Peter was headed out. God didn't want Peter in the prison. Now, it's kind of ironic. God wants Coulter in the prison. But I'm going to tell you something about that supernatural opening. That same God that opened that gate and let him out, he'll open that gate and let you in. I promise you he will, Brother Coulter. Amen. If you'll let me go with you sometime to prison, brother, I'll go. Amen. Just not too much. I'm old. Amen. I found out this morning, Brother Michael's old too. He acts young, but he's just a year behind me. He's old too. Amen. Good thing Miss Donna Connery here, he'd tell us both, got a secret to you. You're old. Amen. That's why he says you're old. Watch this now. There's a supernatural opening, and because of that, victory was realized. The Word of God said in verse number 11 and 12, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They didn't have to be at the temple. They didn't have to be at the church house. I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of people's upset because prayer's been taken out of school. It's taken out of the home a long time before it's taken out of school. A lot of people are upset because the Word of God's been taken out of school. It's taken out of the home. Oh, you say, no, preacher, we got Bibles laying everywhere, but are they open? Are they being read? Are they being obeyed? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. This Bible right here said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more. And we're blind if we can't see that day is approaching. There's members of this church that consider everything under the sun essential except church. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, you say, preacher, they're going to have to answer to you. Oh, no, you got it all wrong. No, 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 no. I'm going to tell you something right now. We are going to have to answer to God. You can mark that down, beloved. And I believe our excuses will be flimsy in that day. Amen. The Word of God talks about a victory that was realized. But then there was a voice that was recognized. Many people today will never recognize the voice of God. They don't hold still long enough to hear it. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. You say, preacher, what do you mean the voice was recognized? Look at verse 13. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. I like Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, now the Word of God said she knew it. You know what Jesus said? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know what Jesus said? He said, a stranger they will not follow. You say, preacher, how do you know when it's a stranger speaking to you? It's easy when it's contrary to this book. If it's contrary to this book, that's why I know same-sex marriage ain't right. That's why I know adultery ain't right. That's why I know shacking up ain't right. That's why I know drinking ain't right. That's why I know drug culture's not right. That's why I know the free sex culture's not right. That's why I know, because this book says it ain't right. This book is the final judge. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. We're going to answer to this book. Beloved, victory was realized, but there was a voice that was recognized. Look at verse 13. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Now listen to me. I don't know who was in this pulpit not too long ago. I know who it was. It was Brother Don, Brother Don McCann. You remember Brother Wayne, he said something like this. He said, some of these people don't understand why a preacher gets happy once in a while. He said, they've never been around it. They've never seen anything like it. They don't understand why Brother Ralph would holler, amen. It's been a long time since I heard him. Every once in a while, Brother John would holler, yeah. I need to get Brother John up here closer to the fire. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not interested in pouring no water on him. There's enough of the world doing that. I don't pour some gas on him. Amen. I've been with Brother John in revival meeting, sat alongside of him. Maybe I just can't hear him up here. I don't know. Miss Kathy, you can tell me after church if he ever says yeah. I'm going to tell you something. That's like saying sick him to a hound dog. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Rhoda recognized the voice of Peter. You and I need to recognize the voice of the Lord. Brother Coulter sat in that examination last night. They wanted to know about his call. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He told us about how that God worked in his heart. You know what he used? Prayer and this old book. I'm glad, Brother Craig, God is still working in hearts through prayer and this old book. Prayer. And this old book. I'm standing here today, pastor of the Bible Way Baptist Church, because sitting right out there in that old 99 Crown Vic, prayer. Oh, God, I need to know. Oh, God, they want to know. God, I need an answer. God, I've gone too far down the road to miss you now. When God said, feed the flock of God which is among you, and broke me down like a double-barrel shotgun, it wasn't something I wanted to do or looked forward to doing, but God was able to hear his voice. I told the men last night, God pulled me in, God sending him out, and they're getting a whole lot more than God pulled in. I can promise you that. Amen. My running days is about over. But thank God for a young man that's willing to hit the road and go for Jesus. Amen. I see a supernatural opening. Let me tell you something right now. I'm gonna go on and give you these last two things. But every time a sinner's heart is open, it's a supernatural event. That nobody's flesh wants to open. But I'm telling you, when you get under that load of sin and you get so tired of it, questions were asked last night about repentance. The Bible said repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. Two things I should have been saying for years. If you don't want a change in your life, you don't want Jesus. The Word of God said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you're not, listen, sick and tired of sin, you don't want Jesus. But I'm telling you, when that day comes, Brother Michael, could you imagine us getting some men? Some of y'all have moved this for Miss Danita. Brother Rick, this stuff's heavy, ain't it, brother? Could you imagine us standing up here? I tell you what, instead of setting it on there, let's just throw it on there. Like a log on the fire. It wouldn't be long. I'm going to tell you what. He would have went from all fours to flat on his face. That's where we need to get about sin. Flat on our face before God. And realize, beloved, God loves us. And he took our sin to Calvary. It's a supernatural opening. It was supernatural when the chains fell off. I'm glad I have a time in my life I can tell you the chains fell off. Amen. I wasn't chained to a soldier. I was chained to sin. Brother Michael, you'll like this. It's Brother Mike, ain't it? Either one. Michael Mack. Amen. Michael V, Michael T. We got enough Michaels here to mess up a meeting for sure. Michael P. They all rhyme, don't they? Amen. But I had a guy in prison years ago. Tattooed, brother, all over, all up his neck. Demons. Just tattooed all over him. He came to me, Brother Long, and this is what he said. He said, preacher, I'm ashamed of these tattoos. And brother, I have to give God the credit for this. I'm not smart enough to think of what God gave me to say to that man. I shook hands with that man, and I wept. I said, brother, do you know the difference in your tattoos and mine? He looked at me. Of course, he couldn't see any. I said, you can see yours. I said, sin tattooed me too. I've got tattoos on carried to my grave because of sin. Jesus has forgotten. Yes, he has. I wish I could forget it. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. God, it's a supernatural event when the chains fall off. We're able to know that we know that we know. If we die, we'll go to heaven. The next thing. Are y'all doing okay? Amen. I'll tell you something about preachers. You could tell last night, couldn't you, Brother Long? They all want to talk. Amen, Brother Steve. Even pastor now, I'm telling you, I just want to put my two cents in there every once in a while, too. It got to the point where instead of questioning Calder, we was preaching to each other. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Mike? I'm telling it right, ain't it, brother? But the Lord was meeting with us. Amen. It was sweet. Special. Special. Let me give you this. The fourth thing I see in the chapter. Listen to me. Stay with me. There's a sure outcome. When the enemy backs you up in the corner, that opposition is so severe. I want you to see the outcome because the devil don't want us to see the outcome. I want you to go with me, if you will, please, to verse number 20. The Bible said Herod was highly displeased. You remember him in the front of the chapter? You remember he's killed James with a sword. He's beheaded James. You remember that? And now he's got Peter locked up in prison. And by the way, beloved, if you go back to verse number 19, all the soldiers that were to keep Peter were killed. You see it? It's right there in the Word of God. If you were a guard and you were to guard a prisoner and you let that prisoner go, you lost your life. Now, I can't find this in my study, but the Word of God says four quaternions. Everybody that I studied after wanted to say it was four soldiers. A quaternion is four, and if there's four of them, I'm not a real smart guy, but that's 16. And you say, Pastor, why do you think they would have put 16 guards on Peter? Because look at what happened in the early church earlier when God opened the door and let them out. They knew that these guys that followed Christ had a habit of walking out of prison. They wanted to make sure he stayed. Four quaternions, that's what I see. If I'm wrong, God help me. But I studied what a quaternion is, that's four. And if you got four quaternions, if God wanted to say this, four soldiers, he'd have said four soldiers. But he said four quaternions. Let's make sure. You remember what they done with the grave of Jesus? Let's make sure. Well, actually, he said, make it as sure as you can. Sure as you can ain't sure enough when it comes to Jesus getting out of that tomb. Amen. Watch this now. I'm talking about a sure outcome. Listen, Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him. And having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, they desired peace because their country was nourished of the king's country. Watch this now. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and he made an oration to them. Please look at it. This is the enemy now. The enemy thinks, just like old Haman did back there in the book of Esther. The enemy thinks, boy, we got them now. Watch this now. And the Word of God said, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God. It's the enemy talking, and they're saying, it's the voice of God and not of a man. And the Word of God said in verse number 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, the enemy, beloved, one day will be dealt with by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a sure outcome. I've already read the last chapter in the last book. It's a sure outcome. Watch this. Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Brother Coulter, when that enemy backs you up in the corner, and it looks like there's no way out of that corner, and he wants to remind you of your past, I'm begging you, remind him of his future. Amen. Take him by the cross where you met the Lord Jesus. And beloved, you'll come out of there victorious. There's a sure outcome. You know what we need to consider? Three things here quickly. We need to consider fallen man. When the enemy's got you back, let me tell you something about ministry. Brother Long will say, amen, I believe he will. The enemy don't always come from without. Sometimes it comes. Sometimes there'll be somebody pulled in there and you'll go in that prison and they'll be jealous. You say, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I believe I do. And they'll be looking for ways to undermine. You say, Pastor, that don't go on in the ministry. Brother Craig, it goes on in churches. You can be loved till your church takes off, starts doing something for God. Say amen. We're not in competition, youngins. We're just here to serve the Lord till he comes. I see this. I see we need to consider fallen man. Consider the soldiers. Consider the king. Here's what I want you to remember, Brother Coulter. It's just the grace of God, it ain't you. Grace of God, it ain't me. Grace of God that I'm in the prayer meeting and not trying to keep them locked up. It's the grace of God, beloved, that I'm in the prayer meeting and not trying to behead God's people. Watch this now. We need to consider fallen men, but we also need to consider the foolishness in these men. You say, Preacher, what do you mean foolishness? Listen to these words. They gave not God the glory. I'm going to tell you something right now. We may not understand it today, but if you sit down and eat a peanut butter cracker without a thankful heart, that's foolish. I'm telling you, a peanut butter cracker is more than you and I deserve. A half a glass of milk is more than we deserve. This bottle of water is more than I deserve this morning. I'm trying to tell you, beloved, listen, God has been good to us, and we're a foolish people if we do not give God the glory. Sinner people are expected not to give God the glory. The saints are not expected not to give God the glory. The third thing I see right here, we need to consider the future of these men. Somebody tell me where Herod is today. Think about that, Brother Long. Brother Long, it's impossible for you and I to be right with God and want to see anybody burn in that flame. Our worst enemy. I've said for years, if old Slewfoot could be saved, I'd like to take this Bible and lead him to Christ. Boy, what a problem that would solve. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. They have a future that's very bleak. I'll share something with you in a minute. I'm excited about it. I saved it, though, on purpose. I want to give you this, and I'm done. There's one more thing in the chapter. We're talking about fulfilling our ministry. We need to think about the severity of the opposition. We need to think about that sure outcome. We need to think about that sacred opportunity. We need to think about, beloved, listen, that supernatural opening. But one more thing that I want you to think about. Look at verse 24. This is the second time in this chapter the word but is used. But the word of God grew and multiplied. What I call this, for the sake of alliteration, is a satisfying observation. Through it all, Brother Calder, the word of God just kept on growing and just kept on multiplying. I wrote down just a couple of things right here. When the word of God multiplies and when the word of God grows, the saints grow in the scripture. The word of God said they grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The saints glow in the spirit. But let me give you this. When the word of God has free course and it's multiplied, the saints go after sinners. You say, Pastor, how come I never go after sinners? Because the word of God's not having free course in your life. If the word of God had free course in your life, Jesus said, go into all the world. You say, Preacher, that's just the apostles. Is it really? Seeing therefore, read it in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Read it right after that verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Seeing therefore, we have this ministry. We now then are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the Word of God said. And so they go after sinners. Now I found something. And I'll read it to you. I didn't know this. Can I read this to you? And I'm done. I'm finished. I'm cooked. I didn't know this. I don't know how you say this name. It looks like Eusebius. Is that how you would say that right there, Brother Colt? Eusebius. Relates a story from Clement of Alexandria. And what was the last thing I just said to you? We'd go after sinners. The saints would go after sinners. Ain't that right? Eusebius relates a story from Clement of Alexandria who says that the soldier who guarded James before the judge was affected by his witness, so affected by his witness, James's witness, that he declared himself a Christian. Also, and was willingly executed for Jesus alongside, I've often said this. You remember Onesimus? He's chained up down there with Paul. You ain't got a chance. Say amen. And what I'm trying to get you to see, beloved, is that according to history, one of those soldiers was so moved by that man of God in his dying days. His dying hours, Brother Grissel, was so moved. He said, I want what you got. I want what you got. That's one thing to say, I want what you got. It's another thing to be willing to die for what you got. Beloved friend, this morning, are you and I willing to live for Jesus? Fulfill that ministry that God has given to us? Are we willing to die for Jesus? Through this mess that we call COVID, literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have died alone. Mom couldn't get in, dad couldn't get in, the son couldn't get in, the sister couldn't get in, the brother couldn't get in. But I want to give you something this morning before you go home, before they come and see. Not one child of God died alone. That book told me I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You say, Pastor, aren't you worried about laying in an ICU somewhere breathing your last breath? No, I'm just excited about my first breath on the other side. Thank God for a little corner of the field to glean in. Our corner ain't very big. We sure ain't setting the woods on fire. Brother John has said it many times in Sunday school, we can do better. That includes you, John. That's why he said we, ain't it, Brother John? You didn't say y'all can do better. You said we. God help us. You say, Pastor, I'm really going to pray that God will help Brother Coulter to fulfill his ministry. I am too. While I'm praying, I'm going to ask him to help me. Help Papa. Help Pastor. Help Daddy. Brother Mike, to fulfill the ministry that God has given me. Ladies, come on with the song of invitation.